I'm Manila Chan. You are tuned in to Modus Operandi. Now, their faces are inescapable, plastered across all platforms. Their names uttered more frequently than common necessities like bread or water. Volodymyr Zelensky, Greta Thunberg, Alexei Navalny, Juan Guaido, and others. Names and faces who rocketed to international fame for a cause. This week, we'll discuss how seemingly random people are heralded as global idols for a specific cause. Is this chance or calculated creation? All right, let's get into the MO. In 2019, he was elected president of an Eastern European country most people could not find on a map. A comedic actor turned politician, Volodymyr Zelensky, went from only regional fame to household name across the globe in the span of just over 2 years. Or the year before, in 2018, a lone schoolgirl in Sweden protesting climate change in solitude, Greta Thunberg, then just 15 years old at the time, was suddenly splashed across magazines around the world, invited to meet with heads of state and speak at huge events like UN meetings. And there are others, like Alexei Navalny, championed as the main opposition to Vladimir Putin, or Juan Guaido, arbitrarily claiming his role as president of Venezuela. There is a laundry list of people who the Western mainstream media have foisted across their headlines as some symbol of some cause or another. These so-called independent individuals with a noble heart and victims of this or that actually, in reality, had throngs of PR companies and government insiders and benefactors in the U.S. pushing them to the forefront to play the leading role on the world stage. To discuss these so-called global idols and their role in the political theater, we are being joined by Guy Mettan. He is a former Swiss MP, journalist, and author. His newest book, titled Russie Occident, originally in French, translated to English, is Russia West. Guy, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you for inviting me for this interview. I am very proud, very happy to be with you.
Now, Guy, Volodymyr Zelensky has never waded into politics before his ascension to president of Ukraine. How did an actor with only regional fame become president of a country and a household name in the span of, like, 2 years?
Yes, I think Zelensky's case is not unique in the history of politics, because you have other actors becoming president. For instance, Ronald Reagan, he was a Hollywood actor before becoming president. And you have also, for instance, in Italy, some comedian or humorist like Beppe Grillo, who also created a political party very successful in Italy, or other guys like Berlusconi in Italy, or even Donald Trump, who was a TV star before becoming president. So Zelensky's case is not unique, but is specific, yes, in the sense it is the unique actor who came directly from the comedy to the politics in a very short time, in a few months, we can say. And that's unique because Ronald Reagan, he was governor of California. He was involved in politics before he became a president of the United States. So Zelensky's case is also in partly very specific. How can we explain? In my view, it's a huge advantage when you are you want to be elected or to become a president to use your fame, your personal fame. So if you are your name is known from the public, which was the case of Zelensky in Ukraine. He was very famous as a comedian, as a humorist at the TV, even in Russia, but also in Ukraine. So it's a big advantage if your name is already known. And he was also playing the role of a president, not a fake president, you know. But he was playing his role before becoming the true president of the country. So maybe it has some influence about his elections. But what also is important in the case of Zelensky is that he has a special look, you know, and he made a campaign. He made a campaign, electoral campaign in 2019, saying, "Oh, I am new on the scene. I am not corrupted as the all our past president, and I will bring you the peace." So he made promises to the Ukrainian citizens, saying, "I will bring peace. I will settle the conflict and the crisis with Russia, the crisis in the Donbas." So he made promises which he betrayed as soon as he was elected. But before the election, he used this, let's say, this newest, this novelty, this past of non-politician as an advantage to be elected. And after he betrayed, but he betrayed only after the election. That's why he was, in my view, successful. And sure, at the third argument, we can say he had the support of the main oligarchs of the country. So he had plenty of money to support him during his electoral campaign, which is very important in politics. Without money, now in a democracy, you cannot be elected.
Now, Zelensky is just one example of someone who seems kind of plucked from obscurity to become the face of a cause or a symbol of sorts. Greta Thunberg, the young Swedish climate activist, is another. Can you think of others who sort of fit this description of sudden global idol? And why are these people used as, you know, like a singular symbol?
Yes, for me, Zelensky, he didn't came from nothing to everything, you know, as I tried to explain, because he was pretty known in the Russian-speaking countries, such as Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia before his election as a president. But the case of Greta Thunberg is a little bit different, because she was not known, and she suddenly appeared on the world scene in months, in less than 1 year. We can explain that because she was also in the posture of a victim. If you look at her look precisely, Greta Thunberg, she looks a little bit like E.T. You remember maybe the TV star played by, you know, the TV movie, for the movie made by Steven Spielberg about this very friendly, sympathetic alien called E.T. And if you look at the face, Greta Thunberg's face, she has something in common with E.T. So she attracts the sympathy of the people because of her special face and attitude, as she is slightly, it has been said, autistic, but it gives to her some attraction to the people, because like E.T., she's attracting the attention. She has this capacity. And Zelensky, exactly, he's a good actor. He knows perfectly how to use all the tricks, the capacities of a show. He was perfectly done for the job, because he didn't need, unlike a lot of politicians, to learn how to use TV, to use the show artifacts and so on, because he already mastered everything, you know, for the show. So he could directly play the role of his existence, which was a big advantage at the beginning of this war, in order to appear on the world scene as a symbol.
You and I live in countries that are considered the West. Does the use of such symbols, such idols, have the same impact across the globe, say, I don't know, across the global South, or is this a media invention for Western consumption?
For me, this kind of media fabrication is mainly for the Western public, because what is the goal of this fabrication? Is to get a consensus, to get the consent of the people to the arms expenses, to the fabrication of armaments, to the military budget. As you have seen, the US military budget has been increased in December to $858 billion, so 100 billions higher than the previous one. So as you need to convince your public to accept such expenses for weaponry or for giving money and arms to Ukraine and so on, you need to fabricate this kind of idols, this kind of consent, but mainly in the West, not in the Global South. Maybe if it is known in the Global South, that's the second advantage, but it's a side advantage, not the main goal. And in the Global South, I think the public opinion doesn't share this view. If you look, the Global South now has not accepted to take the sanctions against Russia, has not accepted to consider Zelensky as the unique superstar and the unique global idol of the good, you know, on this planet. Why? Because in the South, they are not sensitive to this kind of hypocrisy, of this kind of double standard. Why? Because they are accustomed, they are used to get the bombs on the heads. You know, where are dropped the Western bombs on this planet? These bombs are dropped in Yemen. They were dropped in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria, in Libya, you know. And these people, the people of Africa, of this Muslim country, they cannot share this kind of fabrication, because they know, they have experienced how the West is using this kind of media fabrication to justify its military interventions, its bombing, its killings in the Global South mainly, which is the main victim of this kind of manipulation. So I think thanks to God, or thanks to awareness, the populations of the Global South are more conscious of this propaganda than we are, in the Western world, than we are aware of.
Guy Mitton is gonna stay with us. Coming up next, the human need to worship. Are these political idols comparable to deities in religion? Or might some call their worship cultish? We'll discuss it when we return. Sit tight, the MO will be right back.
We need to counter the Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine.
The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Hungary has been a member of the European Union and NATO since 1999, during the first post-Soviet wave of NATO's eastward expansion.
Нам Брюссель сказал, если мы много санкций сделаем против России, тогда война закончится и все мир, все будет хорошо.
Запад думает, что вот пришло время, что можно убить Россию.
Россия остается большой, могучей страной.
In the early 90s, Hungary was a country with the worst view of Russia due to historical disagreements left over from the Soviet Union.
Сегодня же Венгрию называют едва ли не самым надежным партнером России в Европе. По всем признакам, эту политику можно назвать пророссийской. На деле же это политика здравого смысла.
Welcome back to The MO. I'm Manila Chan. Former Swiss MP, journalist, and author Guy Meton has decided to stay with us to talk some more. So, Guy, when choosing or carefully curating people to be idols like Zelensky, Thunberg, Navalny, and others, in this day and age of social media where the internet never forgets, how do these idols manage to escape the darker parts of their past?
That's very easy for them. It's not a problem for them, because as they have the support of the all the Western mass media, from CNN to Le Monde in France, from the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung in Germany to Washington Post, all the way the Western radio media reviews, academic circles, I mean, corporate, all the corporate media of the West, is mobilized to support them. So it's very easy to put aside the bad elements of their biography and to keep it under the cover, you know, and to exalt, to make the focus only on the positive elements of their biography. Look, for instance, at Zelensky, how the Western press, the corporate media, are insisting about his victim role, his commitment for the good against the bad Russian, and so on, and forgetting completely all his scandalous investment, his real estate properties in Florida, in London or in Italy, which were unveiled by the Pandora Papers. But you have no mention of Pandora Papers and Zelensky frauds and how he's using money, laundering money, and putting his money in Florida. You have never that kind of mention, because it has been put aside and by the droning of constant positive message about them, forgetting all the bad sides, the darker sides of this kind of people. In the case of Zelensky, it's obvious for people who are knowing his biography, but if you are just a regular people reading from time to time a newspaper or listening a radio, you cannot know anything about his dark past, because it has been completely concealed, completely hidden. And it's easy to do when you control the corporate media.
Now, it would be you know, one thing, if these people were merely cultural idols, like a pop star, take Madonna or the Beatles, but these people have an impact on foreign policy, don't they? I mean, how consequential are such idols on the world stage?
Yeah, we live in a world of starization, of stars. You know, the movie stars are celebrated all the time in the newspaper, at the TV, and so on. So there is a big need for stars, and so there is the temptation to use these stars to defend the cause, any kind of cause. It can be good cause, humanitarian cause. Don't no problem with that. But also for more or less more doubtful case, and so that's the system of mass media since one century ago. It's now beginning of the 20th century with the emergence of the mass media, that this kind of starization is used. So these stars can be used in all the sense. You have movie star or pop stars who serve cause, like Bono with Chief Rawani in Amazonian forest to save the Indians of the forest. You have Angelina Jolie for humanitarian causes for Bosnia, for instance, during the Bosnia War in the 1990s. They can help. They can be used in totally awareness of what the role they are playing, but also without being conscious of the role we ask them to play. And we can also wonder, raise the question, if these stars at the end of the day, if they are promoting a good cause, or if they are not using the good cause for promoting themselves, you know, to create their biography and to give, an image of the good, to the public, you know, in my view, it's also questionable, you know, because they can be used for good cause, but the good cause can also be used to promote the so-called star.
In several of your articles, you have argued that the media is complicit in wars and conflict around the world, either by paying them too much attention, such as Ukraine, or none at all, like Yemen. And the worst part, the media now picking a side. Noam Chomsky and Edward S. Herman wrote the book Manufacturing Consent back in the 1980s. And by Chomsky and Herman's definition of manufactured consent, are these global idols manufactured, and what sort of consent are they trying to serve?
Yes, I already answered partly to this question, because, you know, for me, the manufacture of consent needs to be constant. You cannot cease, you cannot interrupt the fabrication of the consent, the manufacturing of consent. So you need to do it every day, every week, every month, every year, you know. Because if you interrupt it, if you seize it, you know, the attention of the public is collapsing, is vanishing. So you have to renew constantly your narrative. And that's why you need all stars coming from the movie, pop, music, any kind, you know, or all the political stars, why not? But you need also to create new stars. For instance, as is now Mr. Zelensky. He's a new star since this year, because before February 2022, he was only an Ukrainian president, not better, not worse than the other one, exactly corrupted all the past Ukrainian president, exactly undemocratic, because he canceled all the mass media who were opposed to him before the war, not only after the February, but before. He also imprisoned, jailed his opponent. It was also before. So he was exactly like other Ukrainian presidents. So he became a star because with the West, especially the United States, they need new stars in order to promote the weakening of Russia, promote the war against Russia, to promote the so-called good Ukraine against the bad Russians. And so Zelensky will last as long as this war will be supported by the West. Because, yes, as I explained, the manufacturing of consent needs all the time to be supported, to consume, we can say. It's consuming also stars, old stars and new stars, and probably Mr. Zelensky one day will become a past star because he will be held like all consumers, products of consumption in our society, it will be consumed himself too.
Guy Mettan, author of Russie Occident, thank you so much for joining us on this very controversial topic.
Okay, thank you to you for following us, and I am happy to see you again soon, I hope. Yeah.
Now, there's a saying about social media like Instagram or TikTok, never believe what you see, because as we know, these images are carefully and meticulously crafted, filtered to present whatever image the poster wishes to convey. The same rule can be applied to these so-called global idols. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again next week to figure out the MO.